Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on. Leg up, leg up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100th episode of Fungela. Yay! We did it. 100 episodes. I can't believe it. It feels like we just started yesterday, but we're already at 100. It feels like we started yesterday, but it also feels like we've been doing this forever. Like, it's a little bit
also
of both.
That.
Right.
Because I was looking back at all these episodes, and it was weird to me that some of our On the Road episodes were like episode 36. And I thought, what do you mean?
Yeah. Wow.
That's how long we've been on the road.
And you've had multiple hairstyles throughout these two seasons.
I had bangs.
I look the same all the time.
I had bangs one time. Which I will say, and not to toot my own horn, but I'm gonna. When I was looking back at these episodes, there was a lot of times where I just was like, wow, my hair looks really good in that.
It does. I think you should do bangs again.
Oh.
It worked on you. It was so good.
It did work. It was a lot of, bangs are maintenance.
Yeah.
A lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
And now I live in a very humid climate.
Yeah, don't do it. Mm-mm. Change my mind.
Nope.
Change my mind. Don't do it.
Thank you so much.
This is the 100th episode. On this episode, we're going to go through some of our favorite moments. We're going to give out some awards. Okay, we're going to get some awards on these machines.
The Fungela Awards.
Yes, the very first Fungela Awards.
First annual, semi-biannual,
first of 100th centennial awards.
Oscars.
We're going to give out some awards. We're going to go through some comments from you guys.
Play a little games.
Play some games. It's going to be a fun episode. And per usual, go leave us a comment right now. Mm-hmm. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want to call us, leave us voicemail. Tell us what you're grateful for. Danielle, tell them how they could do that.
Yes. Give us a call or text at 747-300-5380 or email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com or go to Angela's website. There's a form there as well.
You're giving Minnie Mouse. You're giving, which I know you receive as the utmost highest compliment, but you're giving Minnie, you're giving Tatas, you're giving Honey. She is giving for this 100th
episode.
She's
giving. It's 100 degrees outside on this 100th episode.
I was like, 100 episodes, I'm going to dress nice. And then I didn't really have anything. So this is a dress, but I just am wearing it with a blanket over because it's too short. Sure. I had to put shorts on underneath because it doesn't button down all the way. Anyway,
I don't have my full wardrobe.
Yeah.
You know, I don't live
true.
Here anymore.
That's right. You're just here visiting.
This is my first time in LA as a visitor.
It is.
Weird.
It is. Wow.
So strange.
All right. I thought I put my phone on Apple. What's it called? Airplane mode. I'm going to do that
right now. Do not disturb.
Do not disturb. Here we go. We're going to jump right in. We're going to give out some awards. What's first?
I feel like it should be like, awards.
Okay.
You know how they some introduce sort of, like the Grammys or something?
Yeah, yeah. Song.
You know. We'll come in and it's
award song.
We look beautiful on our outfits and we're like, good evening.
We try to do a joke that doesn't land.
Exactly. It's so good to be here. A key. I don't know.
Okay. First award.
Our first award is the most unlikely Mattitude award. Did someone give a Mattitude and we thought, why would that make you mad? Well, we've got some winners. Two winners. Our first winner is Mal Hall. You guys know him? He's a comedian. On lack of shame and people asking for money for their birthdays via Venmo accounts on their car. Or as he called them, GoFundMes.
Yeah, when people post the GoFundMes, that really got him riled up.
He sure did. His whole thing was about shame.
Yeah.
No one's shameful anymore.
That's right. So let's take a look at Mal Hall's unlikely, is that what we're calling it?
Yes, the most unlikely mattitude.
The most unlikely mattitude.
Mal, what is your mattitude?
The one thing that super annoys me right now, and I don't know if you guys are going to vibe with this, is, do you guys remember shame? Do you remember, like, when people would be shamed, like, oh my God,
remember,
I'm ashamed.
It's part of daily life. What do you mean, remember?
I don't think people have shame anymore.
Mm.
Like, have you seen, like, I don't know if this happens all across the country, but in Southern California, people do GoFundMes on the back of their car, and I hate it.
What do you mean? GoFundMes for what?
I call them GoFundMes, but it's like, it's my birthday. Here's my Venmo. Buy me a drink.
No.
And their Venmo handle. And I was like, I've seen enough of these. The one that set me off and the one that made me write this note in my notes to like write a joke about this is this girl on the back of her car said, just married. Buy me a drink. And I was like, do you understand? Like, what do you... You're keeping 1 foot in, 1 foot out? Like, tell your husband to buy you a drink. Oh, my God.
That's weird.
Like, back in the day, like, to ask people for money was, like, people would do anything to not have to ask for money. Like, that it was a shameful thing to do. And now it's just, like, on the back of their car. Write it on your... Put your Venmo in your car.
Okay. Wow. He's still fired up about that.
Yeah,
I think,
he's
probably grumpy.
Okay. Now, this one really took me out. This one, I was like, that makes you mad, bro?
Yeah.
But hey, to each their own. Your mattitude's your mattitude. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yes. So the next recipient of this award is another comedian. You may know him as Trey Kennedy.
Trey Kennedy.
On his hatred for the New York City Marathon.
And all marathons, I think.
Really? But he specifically first said New York City. And where does he live? Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah. He just doesn't like the marathons. Like, no. He doesn't like running. Like,
yeah. He thought it was kind of pointless unless you're like running away from something.
Yeah.
Or like running. He did have, I'll be honest, he kind of had a point where it was like running for charity. And he's like, why don't you just give the money?
Mm.
What do we need to run for?
Let's hear it straight from Trey Kennedy.
Recently, the New York City Marathon happened.
And that pissed you off?
Yeah.
You don't even live there?
Yeah, just all the posts.
It didn't even block your street off. You just...
And I don't know. The marathon, because they just... They're all so supportive. It's like their whole family, friends, they took off work and they're making signs. I'm like, they're just running around Manhattan. I just... I can't... That upsets me. I just think it's fine. It's good, but it's...
Yeah.
I just think they've... Mm-hmm. I just think we do... It's like you got your daughter asleep on a bus right now.
Uh-huh.
The people should be out there with signs. How'd you do it, Angela? You know. And I think somehow we've been tricked. There's harder things in life that we don't get credit for.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm going to say...
You paid your bills!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When the mortgage hits every month, there should be...
Uh-huh. We did it. We survived.
We did it.
What is it that bothers you the most? Like seeing people's posts, does it bother you that we're celebrating running, or does it bother you that streets were closed down, or like...
No, I think the logistics are fine. I think it's fun. I think it's... I'm less upset with the participants. I think it's a great accomplishment. I just think it's a little over celebrated. You know, we had one in Kansas City a few weeks ago. I got a scroll on like a wife's like, I'm so proud of you. Me and the kids are so proud of you, babe. You did it. It's like he came back from Iraq or something. It's like he just ran around the city for three hours.
Great. What a hoot. I get it. All right. Our next award is the Most Unexpected Gratitude Award, where we found that this person's gratitude is not something you would have thought they would be grateful for in that situation.
Who do we have first?
We're going to take it all the way back to one of our very first guests, Gabe Gibbs.
Oh, yeah.
He was grateful for this very specific video of Vin Diesel singing with a choir?
Yeah.
Very odd.
I love that was his gratitude. Yeah. And I remember us both being so taken back, like, what? But yes, like, I love the specificity. He was like, it just makes me happy.
Yes.
I love it.
And if you're watching in the clip, Gabe gives like the biggest smile.
Yeah.
Like he's very happy to see this video.
So let's check it out. This is Gabe Gibbs and his gratitude.
Oh. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day. Yeah.
Wavy, wavy. Yeah.
Oh, happy day.
Yeah.
He's kind of ripping, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, happy day.
Oh,
go
I like
low.
It. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it, Ben. Yeah. You got it. You got it. Yeah.
Ooh. It goes on Ooh. For a long time. We don't have to do okay. the whole thing.
Oh, let me tell you.
He's dancing too.
I'm gonna make a safe guess and say that your grandpa would not approve of Agreed. All of that sauce.
Agree.
That was too saucy of a day.
Agree. Too much.
Agree.
Too much.
The thing I love about this video, it brings me so much joy.
Oh my God.
Because he's kind of killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
There's like moments where you're like, okay, can Vin Diesel sing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like he can like sing. And then there's moments that you're like, all right.
Oh, no, it's just
No,
Vin
we're
Diesel.
Just Vin Diesel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he pulls you back in.
And then he hits a note and you're all, wait.
You're like, excuse me, I'm sorry. Are yeah. you incredible at yeah. singing? What's going on?
Wait.
I've watched.
Like, he doesn't hit all the notes. Like, his aim no. is not real good, no. but he can hit some of them.
And you can see in his heart and in his spirit what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Again, apologies for Gabe being slightly out of focus on that clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was early in Danielle's producing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get into that later, but my bad. The next winner of the Most Unexpected Gratitude Award is Marcus D. Wiley. Now, he starts off by saying he's grateful for his wife, but he is grateful specifically because he also tried to divorce her. And yeah. she won, I guess.
Yeah, he tried to divorce her. That just makes me... laugh like when you think of it, like this is my graduate I tried to divorce my wife, like that's yeah. hilarious. Obviously he has a point with his story, he's going somewhere with his story and we love it. So if you haven't seen it, you'll probably love it too. Check it out.
I'm grateful for my wife, you know, because I tried to divorce her. God knows I did. I tried to divorce her, and you know, we separated, as I said on my special, for like 6 months. Uh-huh. We had been married at the time by 5 years. We separated by 6 months. And, man, getting back together, it probably was the best decision I've ever made. It was even better than the decision I made to marry her, was getting back with her.
Mm.
Because, you know, not that she don't get on my nerves. Let me be clear.
Okay.
But I think what people don't understand is you need that.
Mm. Okay.
It's like you need it. Now, of course, we don't want it. Yeah. So I'm not sitting up here acting like I want it. But it's like you need a little friction, a little back against the back, her back. Uh-huh. You know, you just need that in order to kind of become who you trying to become.
Mm. Cutie.
Aw. Great advice. Great marriage advice from that guy.
And speaking of advice... I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next award. This would be our best guest advice award.
This is a tough one. Mm-hmm. We've had some incredible words of wisdom on this podcast. And I'm sure there's plenty of other pieces of advice that we've been given on this podcast that I would add to this as well. Mm-hmm. But we can only pick a couple. So yeah. We just went with a couple.
We'd be here all day.
We would be here all day. I know the Kathy Heller episode. The mm-hmm. whole episode was a banger for me. Yes. Of just
spoiler
advice.
She's a winner.
She is a winner. Okay, let's start with her.
Yes. Yeah, so our first winner of this award, there's several, is Kathy Heller, which you did point out. You felt that the entire episode was a piece of advice.
100%.
But do you want to tell everyone what we're highlighting?
Can you remind me, actually?
The prayer, the morning prayer
oh,
nugget.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so in this clip, she's just talking about how she starts her day. And I loved it. And I wrote it down in my phone so that I could start starting my day that way. And I did. I started doing my day that way for about 3 days. And then I forgot. But still, really great advice from my friend Kathy Heller. Let's check it out.
Having some kind of 5 minutes, 10 minutes of meditation or prayer or like a sanctuary moment that is non-negotiable in your day is so freaking important, because when you wake up in the morning, as soon as you freaking open your eyes, there are 26 notifications on your phone,
yep.
plus everything on your calendar,
mm-hmm.
and all the people who expect you to be in this different roles. Your manager, your husband, you're the, your day gets hijacked.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. I mean, you've given away your power to all these things. You've co-signed it. You're actually okay with it.
Yeah.
Except now there's no vision because there's no intention being set. So, you know, we've talked about this. Like for me, one of the things that I, it's like non-negotiable is like my morning, there's got to be a meeting with myself every morning. Mm. Has to be. Mm-hmm. And that meeting, I'm just going to invite God to that meeting.
Mm.
Right? So we're going to sit down.
We only have one Cal invite and it's God.
RSVP.
Listen,
yeah, exactly.
Except the Google and Cal
he
God.
Always comes. He's very, very kind. But like, you know, it's like you have this one sacred moment where you're like, everything is going to tell me that this is a priority. And the real priority is I'm going to take this attention and this focus and put it right here and say, where would you have me go? What would you have me remember? Mm. What do you need me to know today?
Mm.
And what's so powerful about your soul is that within 6 seconds, there's an answer. And then all of a sudden, everything on that to-do list, first of all, it doesn't have the same urgency. And second of all, it's going to get done. And there's a lightness to it. But what comes in right away is, oh, I just perceived what I actually need my focus to be on.
Full. Beautiful. Moving on to our next one. This one, you may have seen this clip. This was one of our most popular clips to go viral. I feel like this it resonated so well with so many people. Mm-hmm. But it was Deanna Marie Riva.
Yes, on my girl.
Yes, on being kind to yourself. Yeah. And
this one struck a chord with me and continues to do so. It's a constant reminder for me to be kind to myself. And when she started talking, it just hit me so hard. And especially because I was just like going in on myself the night before. I was just being so mean to myself. And I can honestly say that since this episode, I have been a lot more aware.
I was wondering that.
Of my thoughts and reining it in. And like, I'll allow myself a second to like just say what I'm thinking. And then I'll be like, you know what? Like, even just this morning, today, I was working out and I take a glance at myself in the mirror and I was like, whoa. And, you know, I saw some things I didn't want to see. And I like started like hitting like wherever it was like jiggly and stuff. And then I like paused and I was like, thank you, body.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for carrying a beautiful baby. Thank you for just being strong and continuing to work and like immediately like turned it into gratitude.
Yeah.
So anyways, this is some really great advice from my friend Deanna Marie Riva.
So when I start to go to critique my body, I have to follow it up in my head with something. And I'm not great with this, but I keep telling myself if I say, you know, I just don't like my weight and where it's at. I am so grateful of how strong I am because I am truly one strong bitch. This I know.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Like accepting, not just accepting our bodies, but saying mean things to ourselves.
Yeah.
I think you just struck a chord with me right now.
Okay.
Because last night, full transparency, I was being very mean to myself. Like, I'm getting a little emotional right now thinking about it. So hearing you say this right now really is, like, a good reminder to me, you know? Mm-hmm. As we're aging and getting older and even, sure, I may not be as old as this person in this range. And like, oh, girl, you're young still. Sure. But I'm transitioning from here to here and this transition is difficult.
Yeah.
And I took a video of myself that was just for me. It was giving my daughter a bath. It was just me and her. Manny was out at the movies. We didn't have childcare or anything. It's just me and Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving her a bath and I set up my phone so I can remember this moment giving my daughter a bath. And I put her to bed and then I went to go watch the video and I was just being so mean to myself. Oh my just goodness. Like what I look like and my face and just all the things that I'm like, oh my God, I need lashes. Oh my God, my chin. Oh my God, why is my nose so thin? All these things just flooding myself with these negative, awful things to say. And I'm like, stop. Be kind to yourself.
be gracious. And it was really hard to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just hearing you say that right now, I feel like I'm convicted and also like, yeah, be kind.
Absolutely.
Be gentle with yourself.
Absolutely. You are, I think once we become, you know, listen, there's so many factors that just attack us.
Yeah.
And feelings are not facts.
So hey, say that again.
What you feel does not mean that it is a fact. So take it with a grain of salt. And you are not expected to be perfect and not criticize. Like, I'll see parts of my body. But we do need to remember that self-love, because I promise you, in 5 years from now, you'll look back at that video and you won't see anything that you felt you saw.
Yeah.
Because you're going to say, look at me now. I've got this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So your future Angela has to look at today's Angela and say, darling, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you are beautiful all the time, no matter what.
Yeah. Love her. Love it. All right. Our final winner for the best guest advice. Again, could be so many options.
Yeah.
But this one is going to go to comedian Brian Regan. I loved this advice the most because he was talking specifically about being a comedian, but I felt like and this was actually advice that had been given to him and he's sharing with us, but it can be applied to anybody, anything that you are striving after or trying to be or wanting to be. This is the same thing.
Yeah. I also resonated with this and I feel like I've had this mentality before, and I'm so grateful that whoever shared that piece of advice with him did. And I think we even asked him like if he remembered who it was, and I don't think he does. Like, no. It was just somebody who spoke up, and I'm so grateful for people like that who do that, who are brave enough to be like, I'm gonna say something. Yeah. And like the story I brought up many times before on this podcast about what's her name telling me how to receive a compliment.
Oh, Meghan Markle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Teaching me how to receive a compliment. Yeah. I didn't know how to receive a compliment. And I'm so grateful that she paused to tell me, give me permission to receive a compliment. And whoever he was talking to gave him permission to just own it and say it and be it. And so this is some really great advice that Brian Regan was given and he shares with us.
A person came up to me saying, well, you, and I had my bus tray stuff on, you know, like I had done some time. They thought I was funny.
Yeah.
And they said, I forget what they asked, but I said, yeah, I'm trying to become a comedian. I'm trying to be a comedian. Uh-huh. And the person said, oh, well, we enjoyed you tonight. Good luck. And left. And a comedian overheard me say that and said, can I talk to you? Hmm. Another one where I'll cry. And I said, sure. And he said, why did you tell that person you were trying to be a comedian? I said, because that's what I'm doing. I want to become a comedian. He goes, you did it tonight. They enjoyed it. Why don't you say you are a comedian? And I don't know why, but it hit me like it hit me. He goes, why are you putting it out in front of you when it's already there? And from that moment on, I said that I was a comedian, that I am a comedian.
Perfect. Love that. Now, if you've been with us for a while, or if you've been following Angela for a while, you might notice that we like to spell things differently in this neck of the woods. And so sometimes that trips up the way people pronounce Angela's name, and then therefore Fungela.
Yeah.
It gets a little confusing. So our next award is the funniest pronunciation of Fungela award.
Mm-hmm.
And our first winner is the wonderful, beautiful Abby Glover, who
cutie actually, patootie.
Such a cutie. And she ended up kind of teaching us a little in it, the way she says it, she calls it Fungelina.
Uh-huh.
And kind of tells us a really cute story of how her friends nickname everything.
Yeah. And then
we decided we're going to start doing nicknames for us.
Yes.
This is Abby Glover, everybody.
Does Fungalina have a jingle?
Fungalina. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh my gosh, why did I say
Fungalina? No, it's now Fungalina. We are now Fungalina. So... moving forward.
No, hold on. I have to explain
I
that.
I love that, though, because that is also another...
No, wait, I have to actually explain that.
Okay, I've heard people be like, and you let Angelina know that we're just her biggest fans.
Uh-huh.
And we bought her t-shirt tonight.
That's incredible.
That's what I get at her shows all the time.
Stop. My roommates, we call each other, we put Lena at the end of everything.
Okay.
So, like, I'm Abilina, and I have Jessalina and Saralina, uh-huh. and, like, our boyfriends are, like, Garolina and Samolina. Uh-huh. Like, okay. It weirdly stemmed from One Piece, which is an anime, but I don't know. It's just like it was a morph of just crazy time, and now it's like we say it all the time.
I love that.
And so that was that part of my brain just popping out right just then. But yeah, Fungalina.
Fungalina. Let me tell you.
You love us, yeah, I think.
Absolutely, I do.
This is my new podcast name.
No.
Tell everybody. Tell everyone you know. Merch.
Welcome
subscribe
to Fungalina with Angelica Johnson.
Angelina.
It kinda, is cute.
It sounds like ballerina.
Angelina Ballerina?
Yeah.
Did you ever read that book? Oh. Angelina the Ballerina?
Oh, I don't think so.
Isn't that what it's called? Angelina Ballerina?
It makes me think of Thumbelina.
I'm pretty sure there's Angelina Ballerina.
It sounds like it should be something. My phone's over there. Oh, I have a full computer in front
of me. Yeah, I was like, I wonder why she's not using her computer, but I'll look it on my phone.
I don't know. Angelina Ballerina. Oh, you're right. It is Angelina. It's a British animation thing.
Oh.
It was a British
show, Rosie. How cute.
Yeah, it's so cute.
I should get her that book. What am I thinking?
Yeah,
I
it is a book. Now. Yeah, it is a book. And then they made.
I have a daughter now. Why didn't I get her that book?
Well, you don't read a lot, so.
I mean, I read every day.
Text messages?
Children's books. When I put Rosie to bed, at least 3 books. She tries to throw in 4, and I'm like, nah, 3, girl.
Okay.
Anyway.
The next winner of the Funniest Pronunciation of Fungula Award actually goes to Angela. to us. In the way we try to say things.
Well, this is just us trying to come up with a nickname for you guys, for our listeners.
Yes.
What do you want to be called?
And we're still taking requests.
Yeah.
Or suggestions.
Here's a little snippet of us trying to come up with a name for you guys. What's up, Fungifellows? We're over here trying to come up with names for you guys. Fungulators. Fungulators, mount up. go ahead and pitch us your idea.
Fungilovers.
Fungilovers. Oh, I like that.
Oh.
Would you guys like to be the Fungilovers? let us know what name you would like to be called.
Welcome back, Fungilators.
Mount up.
Okay, so moving on to the next award. This one is one of my absolute favorite awards because it's one of my favorite stories. This next award is the most unhinged story ever told award.
In life.
Ever?
Most unhinged
of all
story
time?
in the history of stories.
This goes out to Katie Cazorla. She's the winner of this award.
My girl.
Which, if you haven't listened to her episode, please go listen to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you will be aching from laughing so hard.
Laughing and then feel, like, inspired.
Yes.
And, like, you can do anything.
She's so driven.
Oh, my gosh. She's a beast in the most kind, complimentative way. Like, she is unreal. We love Katie. Mm-hmm. And I've known this story for a very long time. And since I met her, I remember she told me a story years and years ago. And it stuck with me. And so when I was thinking about, like, who can we have on the podcast? Uh-huh. I was like, Katie needs to come on.
Yes.
And tell this story.
Yes.
Like, specifically for this story. Like, she needs to come on and tell this story.
Yes.
So this is one of my favorite unhinged stories ever in life. And this is our award for most unhinged story on Fungula.
And I will give you a slight warning. It is a sort of a PG-13
story. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Story.
This one's more of an adult story, yes. I guess, but still very hilarious.
So funny.
I pulled one of those things off a telephone pole where it was like, make extra money,
yeah,
thousands a week. And I ordered, it was like, are you outgoing and fun at parties? And I was like, yes, yes, I am. Right. And I was like, it was like, call this number and low investment. And I was like, okay, I can do this. Mm. And I'll never forget. It was, I wanted to cry. Right. So I went to the gym, asked them if I could get something shipped there, and they were kind of hesitant, but I was like, please. And I made friends with everybody who worked there, and they were like, okay. And so I got this, it was Party Tricks or something. This whole big box showed up. And mind you, I'm living in my car, so my car is like packed to the brim of just crap and stuff in garbage bags, whatever. And it was a box of like sex toys and dildos, like, but like gag ones. So they were like oversized, see-through, rubber, hot pink dildos. I was like, I had never seen that in my life. I'm from a town that doesn't have like a sex toy shop. Like, I was like, what do you even do with this? Right?
And you just got the gym employees to let you get your package there, and you're opening it.
I was opening it. I was like, oh my God. I'll never forget this guy named Scott. He was a personal trainer there. He's like, oh my God, what is that? I was like, I don't even know. I don't even know. Like, I was mortified. So I took like all this stuff and I jammed it in the back of my Paseo. Now, mind you, like, it was like so crammed in there that the box was open. You could see it from the outside. We're just looking through. And I was like, okay, I'm going to book a party, like a bachelorette party. And I'm going to, you know, sell these sex toys and make all this money. And as I'm going to this party, it was in Glendale. Okay. So I'm like thumbing through my Thomas guide, like Glendale is like T1A4, like trying to figure it out. And I hit the brakes by accident and this truck hit me from behind, not like terribly hard, but enough where it punched open my hatchback.
Oh no.
And this is to the entrance to the freeway. So I'm like on a hill. The box falls out. All these dildos go flying onto the freeway. And I was like, oh my God, my investment. It was like all the money I had in the world.
My investment.
My investment. And the guy behind me was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, get my dildos. Get my dildos. I was like crying and sweating. I'm like, my dildos. It was so awful. And he was like, I don't understand. I'm like, pick up my dildos. He's like grabbing these dildos are getting dirty rocks like embedded in them. And he's gathering all these crazy oversized dildos on the freeway. By the time I got it, he's like, I'm so sorry.
Actually, I'm grabbing them though.
He was. He helped me.
He's like, let me help
you. I felt so bad. He probably was like a gardener or something. He had like a work truck with like, you know, like leaf blowers. He barely spoke English. And I was like, grab my dildos. He was like, it's so small. Carrying all these dildos. Anyway, so he gets them all and he like shoves them into my car. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't worry about it. I didn't even care because there's no damage. It was like my license plate was like bent in. I didn't care about the car. And I was able to shut the hatchback down. So I was like, don't worry. Don't worry. And he was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And I sped to the bachelorette party. And by the time I got there, they were like, the mother of the girl whose party it was so mad at me. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And when I opened the package, she was like, oh my God, are these used? I was like, they fell out of my car on the freeway. And it was like, I was shaking, holding dirty dildos. And it was like, I knew. I was like, I'm not cut out for the sex toy business.
I just can't imagine, like every time she tells that story, I'm just picturing, and what if that was me? I don't know.
What if you were driving behind her?
Oh, okay.
Like, what? And it stuck to your windshield.
Oh my God. Okay, the drum roll. Next award. The story that gave us the most chills award.
We have a few, right?
We have two.
Okay.
Alrighty. So our first one goes out to comedian Trish Scher.
Oh yeah.
On meeting Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Ooh,
dream.
I remember getting the chills while she was sitting here telling us this story. And it was one of those where I was like at the edge of my seat, like going with her on this ride. And I love this story. And then this one, I actually got a lot of phone calls from people too, being like, oh my God, that Dolly Parton story. Mm-hmm. So this is our good friend Trit. And you said Trish Sure, but didn't she correct us? Isn't it?
Oh, Trish, Sir? Sir?
Trish, and like the H Trish is silent. Sir? Remember she was telling us that when I was like, I've been saying your name wrong, girl.
Yes, she's like, did.
Most people do. Trish Sir. I think it's Sir, but like, it's S-H-U-R.
Yes, sir.
She corrected me and now I can't remember. This is my girl Trish telling us a very goosebumpy story.
And I look over, and at Gracias Madre, there's this like built-in, we're in the outdoor area. It's just dusk. It's a beautiful hour. It's gorgeous LA weather out. And there she is. She just, no handlers, nobody with her, nobody, just Dolly. And she goes over and sits on this banquette against the wall. And I'm like, that's Dolly Parton. And it dawns on me that I was like, that's my sign, right?
In
my
head, not the day you say a prayer to the Lord.
Thank you. On my knees and said, please, clear and unmistakable that I need to keep doing what I'm doing. And she goes by, and I thought,
oh my God, give me the children.
So I think that's it. Right then, before I can do anything, Gay BFF grabs, takes the drink, puts it down, and goes, here, throws an Altoid in my, like literally almost choked on it, pops an Altoid in my mouth and goes, come on, it's Dolly, it's go time. And I'm like, what? And I'm shaking because I'm like, I can't walk up to another one. Like before I can even do anything, I'm already en route to her. The next thing I'm about to tell you happens in 90 seconds, but for me, it felt like 2 hours.
Sure.
We walk up, and Josh, who used to be one of the heads of PR at Warner Brothers, can speak to anybody about anything at any time.
Knows the job.
Yes. Walks right up and goes, Miss Parton, I'm so sorry to bother you. He goes, but I just want to let you know, I look at you as my fairy godmother because we have the same birthday. Okay. Which he's not lying. It's
true.
Broke
the ice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she goes, well, honey, I am. Puts her hand out, butterfly ring and all. I'm like, and look, I'm shaking telling the story because this day, every time I talk about it, I'm right there. And she goes, well, you know I am. And he goes, I felt that in my heart. I'm like, what's happening? And I'm standing behind there going, what's happening? And then he goes, really, the reason I came over, though, was to introduce you to my dear girlfriend, Trish. She grew up in your neck of the woods. Now, I am face to face with Dolly Parton. And I go, yeah. And she goes, whereabouts? And all I can get out is the Gap, because where we're from, if you say the Gap, that lets you know it's the tri-state area, it's coal country, it's as big as a Tic Tac, and not a lot of people from the Gap make it out to be seen in Hollywood. And so I just go, the Gap, and she grabs my hand, butterfly ring and all, and goes, well then baby, you sit right down. And I'm like, I can remember just shaking because she's still holding my hand, and I'm like, and she pats and slides over, and I sit down next to her. She's still holding my hand. We're sitting there looking at this Hollywood party. I remember we were directly staring at Halo Ice Cream was one of the sponsors. And I'm looking at Halo like an angel sitting here with Dolly. And she's holding my hand, and she goes, can you believe two girls from the mountains are sitting here in all this? And this is why I go... And I looked at her thinking, you were inclusive with me. And then I'm like, I'm stroking. This might be it. God's calling me. Because you not only are still holding my hand, but you've included me in this with you. And that you said two girls from the mountains. And I'm like, is this my real life? And she goes, I can't believe we're sitting in all this. And I sat there at that moment and went, what's my life? This is... Don't take this moment for granted. And sweet Josh, thank God, had the foresight. Mind you, this is all 90 seconds. He goes, Miss Parton, would you mind if we grabbed a picture? And she goes, that would be fabulous. Still holding my hand. And Josh leans in and takes one with the three of us. And then he steps out and takes one with the both of us. Uh-huh. We're in a dark corner, y'all. I'll send you the picture. I'm staring off into space. Like, what's happening? I don't know my name. And she's backlit, front lit with, and there's no lighting around us. That's what's wild. When I send you this picture, she's purple. There's purple light. There's pink light around her. And when you see it, I'm like fringely getting some of her light, but you can tell it's a dark hole. But she's lit, literally lit like the Lord. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's sitting there holding my hand. And then I start realizing there's people milling about, right? Here comes people noticing Dolly's here. And I said, well, thank you for your time. I said, it really means a lot. And she, still squeezing this hand, goes, us mountain women have to stick together. She goes, and I'll be seeing you super soon. I know I will. And I'm like, and I don't even know what to say. And she squeezes my hand twice. And I just let go of her because I was like, oh my gosh. I know everybody in their Aunt Becky's going to be up her nose holes in 2 seconds. And it was that moment that I went, what are you doing? You cannot sit here and have a pity party and think you're not meant to be in this business. When God literally dropped Dolly Parton, the human being that told you as a child, this is who you're going to be and do. And that was it.
All right. The next winner of this Story That Give Us Chills Award is another one. She's already won an award tonight. She's
She's taking on multiple Fungalo Awards. It's none other than Kathy Heller.
Come on, Kathy.
On a sign from her dad while she was at lunch. This, I mean, come on.
This story gave me the goosies. Gave me the, I want to cry. Gave me the goosies and also like hope.
Yeah.
Like it feels hopeful. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And I think that's why calling back to her prayer earlier, mm-hmm. like hearing stories like this, I'm like, yeah, I want to start my day with asking God to give me those little winks throughout the day that we're on this journey together. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and this story is just a perfect example of like God putting two people next to each other mm-hmm. with the synchronicities that are like, oh my God, God is real. What is happening? You know what I mean? So anyways, check out this story that gave us the goosies from Kathy Heller.
So I turned to this woman and I go, are you on your first date? And she's like, yes. And
Is he still there? Or did he go to the bathroom? Her first date?
He was still there.
Okay. Yeah.
Kathy.
Yeah, I know. I go, you guys on your first date? And she's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. I go, you're really cute together. Oh. And then I'm like, can I buy you dessert? And they're like, sure. I go, I just want to like give like energy to this. Like it feels good. Like, let me just like punctuate it.
So cute.
I'm sometimes cute. This. Sometimes I'm like the worst, but sometimes I'm really cute. So I go, which ice, whatever. So they buy the like, they want the fried Japanese ice cream. Good choice. So we leave. And as we're leaving, she's like, what's your Instagram? I want to like stay in touch. I'm like, sure. So we exchange Instagram information. And a few hours later, she texts me and she's like, that's so nice. Like, thank you so much. That was so sweet. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, are you going to go on a second date? Like, hello, like, come on. Like, that's the information I need. She's like, I don't know if there's going to be a second date. Maybe there is. But she's like, I want to tell you something that you couldn't possibly have known. She said, this is my first date because my husband died. I'm a widow 5 years ago. Mm. And she said, I asked God for a sign because I was so guilt-ridden to go on a date. And I said, please give me a sign that like this is okay. Mm. And she goes, you are my sign. So I said to her, you have no idea what that means to me. I'm like, this is my first night out because my dad just died. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I go, yeah, he died July 3rd. And I mentioned it because it felt relevant. It was a few weeks ago. And she goes, my husband died on July 3rd, 5 years ago. So now I know for sure. So I said, my dad and your husband made that meeting for us because what are the odds that out of all the days, that's the day. Mm-hmm. So I always pick up my phone when my kids are watching a dumb cartoon. So I'm crying in the Minions movie and they're like, what's so sad? I'm like, I'll tell you after. And we come out of the theater and I say to my kids, you know how mommy like sometimes really fun things happen and like, you know, people celebrate me or I get a book deal or like we get to like buy a bigger house. I go, but you know what makes me feel so rich? This. I go, what just happened? It's like beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew three things. I knew that God put me at the right place at the right time. I knew that I just had so much purpose. And I knew that something bigger than me is always constantly guiding me and supporting me, which makes me feel the magic of life.
So amazing. Love Kathy.
She's so great.
Just go listen to that whole episode. Seriously.
Truly.
It's magical.
Blow your mind.
All right. So the next award is my favorite.
What?
It's the Hottest of Hot Takes Award. Oh. And it goes to me.
Yes. Danielle won.
I won an award.
We did not think that
for awards that I made up.
This was going to be such a hot take. Like, we knew it was a hot take, but a hot take that was going to get people riled up.
Fired up, y'all were.
Yep.
And I stand by it. I still stand by it.
Here's Danielle's hot take.
When men wear flip-flops, I want to throw up.
Why?
I hate it.
They deserve air between their toes.
No, I don't think so. Weird. Are they Jesus? No. Weird. Put those away. Like, I'm like, that was for the Bible times. Men wearing sandals, the jandals.
Wow, this is a hot take if I ever heard one.
hot take from me for sure. But wow. I'm just like, if you're gonna expose your toes, just think about that. Think about what everyone else has to look at.
And here I am thinking about like diabetics who can't wear closed shoes because it's pain. Yes. And they have to wear open-toed shoe, and then their toes are not great because they don't get good blood circulation down there because they're diabetic. And they got nasty toes, but they can't wear closed toes. They have to wear the open toes. I'm thinking of somebody specifically in my head right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And some people...
help that person. Somebody help that person and be like, baby girl, that's trim, trim, buff, buff.
This person I'm thinking of has to go to the doctor to get their nails trimmed because if they accidentally cut themselves, they won't stop bleeding.
Okay. Well, I would like for you to imagine during this attitude, that person does not apply.
Okay.
And here's the thing too. Oh, a follow-up. Everyone was all like, ooh, what about the pool? What about the beach? Well, obviously, flip-flops are fine at the pool or beach, but do not come to dinner right afterwards with those flip-flops. Okay. Now, this next award, again, it's right up there with the flip-flops. It's our most unexpected moment to go viral award.
Oh, yeah.
This goes out to Kristen Seville's and Angela on their really eye-opening revelation of farting in the shower.
This was a story that I told. I did not expect it to go as viral as it did. None of us did. It's a story about one time Manny farted in the shower. When we were both in the shower and he farted. That's what the story is. But the virality,
I mean,
that ensued. I remember Kristen was like weeks later hitting me up like, I'm still getting notifications on my phone that people are still commenting on this. Like, it was going on for a while. We did not expect that. But I'm glad people can relate or just laugh at what I had to endure.
Or be completely disgusted.
Yeah. So check out this clip about farting in the shower. My husband farted in the shower.
No!
And like, that's against the rule. Like, you don't
That's fart. Where you're supposed to be clean and smell nice.
Right. Like, you don't fart in the shower. We're in an enclosed space.
You are clean.
There's some steam.
Ew!
There's already hot steam in the shower.
See, this is why I'm single, because what do you mean? What do you mean?
So we're in the shower, and all of a sudden, I smell something, and I go, did you fart? And he goes, it wasn't supposed to be a smelly one.
But how do you control that? That's what I don't understand.
You can't know. There's
you, do you know? But sometimes you can feel...
No.
You can feel like, uh-oh, my stomach hurts. I'm not going to fart because I think it's going to be stinky. And then you're like, it's just Topo Chico fart. Like, it's just extra it's just extra gas. It's just you got too many bubbles in you and you got to let some go and it's not going to be a stinky. But he really misjudged that one. And I was angry. When I tell you I was angry, I almost DB'd in the shower. Like, it was, he almost, I was so angry. And I opened the shower door.
You start waterboarding him in the shower.
I opened the shower door and I was like, ugh. And I'm so mad. And he's like, babe, you're letting the water get out. Because, you know, the shower water. God. And he closes the door. I said, no. And I opened it. I was like, you're so rude. That is against the rules.
Our recipient of our final award is, where is he?
Usually here, but he's over there.
Our final award is the most comfortable guest award, and it goes to Garbanzo Bean Reyes.
Oh, yeah. My child, my son, best in the world. He's usually sitting right here, as you know, or right here, or on my guest lap, or, you know, wherever is inconvenient. You know, he likes to... scratch and fluff unfluffable things during the pod, but for the most part he just will sleep right in my lap, and I love it so much, and I wouldn't have it any other way except for today, because he chose to sit over there for some reason.
Yeah,
so here's
are you
here's
accepting our, this award on his behalf?
I'm accepting the award. Bonzo could not be in this chair today, but I'm accepting this award on his behalf. Thank you so much.
Sweet dog, my little love, heaven came wrapped in fur from above. Every heartbeat, every wag is enough. Sweet dog, my little love.
And there you have it, folks. That was the first annual Bicentennial Fungula Award.
Congratulations to all the winners.
Yes.
And to all of our guests, you're all winners. Okay?
Yes. And to those who cannot be here tonight, we miss you and wish you all of your future luck endeavors.
Now let's go to the after party.
Okay, are you ready for a game?
Oh, yes.
Again, going along, you know, on this 100th episode, we're just celebrating.
Yeah.
We're just celebrating everything we've accomplished and said. Or did someone else say it?
Oh, bum, 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 bum. Okay.
That's it. We're playing Who Said It?
Okay.
With me, your host. All right, I'm going to give you some quotes.
Okay.
Now, you can try to guess without multiple choice options. Let me know if you
I'll
need.
I'll
try without first.
I'll try without.
And then I'll, you know, give you some options.
All right, let's go.
All right, who said, you get a bunch of comics in their 40s, that bus has some CPAP machines?
Nate Bargatze.
He sure did.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. That was hilarious. He said, what did he say? It looked like a back of a computer or something?
Yes, the back of a computer. Okay. Have you, do you need a CPAP machine yet, or are you still good?
Right now, I do, in this moment. Like, I'm so congested, and I hate it. It's just allergies and so dumb. Sorry. Mm. Go.
All right, that's one. Look, this might be a game you win.
Oh, I finally get
just yourself.
One.
Yes. Okay, who said, I faith it till I make it?
Shane.
Correct.
Shane Stevens.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that was something that really did stick with me, too.
Really?
I was like, okay, amen.
Amen.
Amen, Shane. All righty. Who said, wait, we had two Roosevelts?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, man. Sometimes I am just dumb.
But that made me laugh. What? That made me laugh.
Yeah, yeah, that was me.
The multiple choice I wrote for that was you, Mal, or Jackie.
That's funny. My brother. You should have put
my
brother. That would have been.
Alrighty. Who said, when you can make somebody feel really special, you can't help but be successful?
Oh, I don't remember. Right? Give me a multiple.
That's a nugget. Pedro Latorre, Johnny Chang, or Nick Verano?
Say it again.
The quote?
Yep.
When you can make somebody feel really special, you can't help but be successful. Pedro Latorre.
That is Nick Verano.
It is Nick Verano. Yes.
That was really good of you to put Pedro in there as an option. That was sneaky of you.
I tricked
you. Because he gives like little nuggets mm-hmm. like that. I knew it wasn't Johnny Chang because mm-hmm. It didn't say nothing about no Jesus in there. So it definitely wasn't Johnny Chang. But I do remember Nick talking about how his staff, how he trains his staff, like in kindness. And I love that.
Oh, yeah. His whole story of like he gave lots of different examples and of just like he even said like when make everybody feel like they're you, like make everybody feel like a celebrity.
Yeah. And Nick Verano is my Italian godfather in Boston. And go back and listen to his episode. He's an incredible man, restaurateur, entrepreneur in Boston, knows everybody. Everybody loves him or fears him. I don't know. But love Nick. Definitely check out his episode. All right. Give me another one.
Okay. Who said, I'm sorry, we're out of time?
Pete Holmes.
Yes.
I just did his podcast the other day.
Yes. Yes.
He gave me another one similar to that, but not that. He waited again until I was about to like go in on something. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, oh, we're actually not recording.
I love little bits like that.
Oh, just, he's so good.
He's so good at those.
So good.
Love it. Okay. Who said, I'm never going to take advice from somebody's life who I wouldn't want?
Manuel, my husband?
No.
Oh, he said that many times before. Okay. Say that again.
I'm never going to take advice from somebody's life who I wouldn't want.
Give me a multiple choice.
Tony Baker, Amber Autry,
Or Matt Matthews.
Matt Matthews. Matt Matthews.
Yeah, that's real sassy.
I know. I was like wanting to say it sassy, but then I was
you
like,
kind of did. I was kind of trying to follow your voice. So I was like, what girl said this?
Oh, Matt Matthews. Mm-hmm. Love him. Who said, I mean, I've eaten food off the airplane floor.
Sick.
I think
that is that how I responded?
I think that's how you responded the first time you heard it.
Oh my God. I've eaten food off
the airplane floor.
Give me the multiples.
Mal Hall, Alex Tomko, or me.
Oh, this is tough. Because all of you do questionable things.
See, I was smart.
I'm going to say Alex Tomko.
It was Mal Hall.
Mal?
Mal said that. With 100% serious face.
What a grody.
And you, I'm fairly certain, replied the same way you just did.
Oh my God.
You can roll the clip.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
But I do feel like Alex may partake in that too.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very Alex thing to do.
So silly.
Yeah. All right. What else?
Who said, I've seen between the squiggly lines?
Ooh.
I don't know. Give me a Carol Ann Majavik. Christina P, Leanne Kreischer.
These are all really great options.
I'm good at making games.
Okay, so do give me the quote again and the options again.
Who said, I have seen between the squiggly lines? Was it Carol Ann Miljavik, Christina P, or Leanne Kreischer?
Leanne.
It was Carol Ann.
Dang, I almost said her.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
About the TV shows and seeing
it's
like the squiggly lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
It was pretty funny. What? Because she was saying something about how her mom wouldn't let them watch Dawson's Creek. And she was like, I've seen between the squiggly lines.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She had another banger on that episode that I told probably 400 people about after it. It was something about
she had a lot.
Her dad.
Oh.
What was it?
Oh, yes. Oh, there was
something about him not showing up or like. He calls to tell me he's not coming or something. I forget what it was. She had some
good lines.
Some quip that I was like,
ooh,
that is boss. That is brilliant. I love it. She was talking about her dad wasn't involved. Yes. Like he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, she gave me a good banger.
Yes. Watch that episode.
I gotta go back to that episode.
That episode is so funny. Yeah. That is one of our funniest ones to me.
She's good.
Okay. I got a few more. Your humor is a gift, but if it's about you, it's not a gift anymore.
Brian Regan?
Who said that?
Not Brian Regan? Your humor is a gift, but if it's about you, it's not a gift. Oh, Nate Bargatze.
No.
No?
No. Sorry, I forgot where I put my answer.
Okay, but read it again.
Your humor is a gift, but if it's about you, it's not a gift anymore.
Give me the...
Brian Regan was a good guess because that was one of my multiple choices. Okay. So you can knock him out. Was it Ali Sadiq or Dave Barnes?
Oh, Dave Barnes.
It was Dave Barnes.
Yeah.
Technically, it was something that someone told him.
Yeah.
But it was such a good
line.
I took it.
Yeah. Yep. It was that his wife.
Yes.
His wife told him that.
Yes.
Because he was killing them to meet her new friends. Yes. And he couldn't even remember their names because it was all about him.
Also, great episode.
That's another great episode, you guys.
Such a good episode.
Oh, man.
We're really good at this.
We laughed a lot on that episode.
So funny.
Go back and listen to that episode, too, Dave Barnes.
Runner-up for funniest crying laughing episode.
Dang. Would be that one. See, I should have picked one of those clips, but okay.
I got two more. Who said, what you're not changing, you're choosing?
Trish?
No.
What you're not changing...
You're choosing.
I remember hearing it. I remember hearing it and going like, damn. Mm-hmm. Give me multiples.
Dr. Molly, Dale Smith-Thomas, Rachel Gray.
Rachel.
It was Rachel.
Yeah. I remember now. Yeah. Yes. You threw me with Dr. Molly.
I know. Again, really good at my multiple choice.
Dang, options. You're good at games. Wow. Really good. Okay.
And you were supposed to win this one.
I know. I still can't even win against myself. Yeah, Rachel. What a sweetheart.
Ugh. And music is...
My God. Her voice.
Go listen to her music. Doll. Amazing. All right. Last one. And you should know this one right away. If you don't know this one, I'm disappointed.
Fired.
Who said, if it's free, it's for me?
DJ on GV.
Yes.
my girl, my chola homegirl, DJ Angie V. If it's free, it's for me.
I loved that.
That's another episode that was hilarious. DJ Angie V is hilarious. She's a DJ, professional DJ. So funny. She travels all over the world DJing. Check out her episode. And also, we realized we both love Costco. So we did a Costco video together that you could check out on my YouTube where her and I went to Costco and it was like Tia's, what was it? What do we call it? Tia's something.
Let me just look it
Tia's
up.
Tia's Gone Wild, Tia's something. It's on my YouTube page. Me and DJ NGV go to Costco.
It just says trying every sample at Costco with DJ NGV.
Like, I think in the episode we kept calling us something else. Yes. Yeah. Anyways, it's a really funny little vlog piece that we did. Do they say vlog still? Is that a word?
Vlog? Yeah. Video log. Vlog.
Blog with a video. Vlog.
Yeah.
Is that what it's still called?
Video blog. Blog.
Do people say that or they just say series?
Check out my YouTubes.
Check out my video.
Check out
my content.
Content. I'm a content creator.
Yeah. Anyway,
check it
hilarious.
Out.
So how many did I get right? Oh, all of them except for like three.
I think
right?
You missed three. Yeah. And so I had still 10. Win. That's pretty good. You got
I
over
still
half.
Got an A.
And I feel like you got a lot without needing the multiple choice.
Yeah. I get an A.
Yeah. Good job. Thank and you. I get an A for making it.
Yeah. You get an A plus. That was really good.
And I do make a lot of stuff. Wow. And how much do you make? That's a lot. Let's segue into behind the scenes stories.
Ooh, behind the scenes stories.
We've done a lot of throwback to our favorite episodes and favorite moments, but there is a lot of stuff that happens that you guys don't see and you never will sometimes.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we're going to tell you about them like right.
Yeah.
Meow.
Okay. What do you want to start with first?
Well, I try my best. Okay. And I just want to preface this that at the end of the day and at the beginning of every day, I am not a technician.
No.
By any means. Yeah. I am not a camera person, audio. All this stuff I learned in the moment, on the fly, from Mal Hall, from Alex, from Manny.
Yeah.
And so there are some things that happen. For example, Gabe was blurry that one time. One time I was blurry. I think it was Jaquie's episode.
Oh.
I was out of focus. And sometimes, and then that one freaked me out too because I was having a problem with my contacts that day. And so then the next episode I'm wearing glasses because I was paranoid I was going to be blurry again. Which is seeming to be a trend. But there was also one time, our episode, where it is our final episode on the road of the family reunion tour, where it is Mal, Angela, Alex. It's when Alex tells his wonderful Target story, if you know. And when we got back to LA from being on the bus, I mislocated our audio for the recording and I was panicking. I had a full-on spiral. I was like, I don't know where it is. Our amazing editors, Joseph and Carmen, were like, we can try to make the camera audio work. Like they did. They fully made the camera audio work. Mm-hmm. And then I found it and it was on my table the whole time. It had slid under my tablecloth. I had a panic attack for no reason. I even called the venue and was like, can you search for it?
Ask housekeeping, please.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Random things happen all the time. Like technical difficulties. Today we had technical difficulties. One of the cameras broke for no reason.
Yeah.
It just decided not to work.
Wouldn't turn on.
Manny's out trying to buy a new one right now and there's drama with that. Like just all kinds of just things that you guys will not see. Mm-hmm. And we have an incredible team.
Yes.
That helps us accomplish this podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give out some flowers right now to Carmen and Joseph.
Baby.
They are our team behind the scenes. Truly. They're editing, they're cutting clips, they're doing uploading time codes, like all kinds of stuff behind the scenes. And they do it just flawlessly. And then we'll like throw a wrench in their day and we'll be like, hey guys, can we switch out the episode last minute that's supposed to go out tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
and they're down and they do it. And so they're like pumping out a whole new episode for the very next day, giving us new clips. And then there was times, one time I remember there was an episode, it was about to go out the next day. It's my homegirl in Cleveland,
Jay Lauren.
And she was telling a story, and then she was like, hey, can we take out this one part? I just feel like it's going to come off a type of way. Yeah, and we're like, yeah, we'll take it out. We wrote that note, and it's about to go out the next day, and I just happened to look, and it was still in there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, we got to take that out. Oh, my gosh. And they went back in, took it out real quick. But they're so good.
Yeah.
Carmen, Joseph, we love you guys. Yes. Couldn't do this without you, literally.
But literally. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. But I know how to give it to you, and then I go, you got it.
I don't even know how to give it to you.
And that's true.
Yeah. So shout out to our team behind the scenes.
We love you guys so much. You are so helpful.
Best in the world.
To me, always. I was talking to you guys today.
Best in the world.
I talk to you every day, really. Love them. And... you know, as we are giving them our sincerity and heartfelt, that's one of the, I think, great things about this podcast is, like, yes, a lot of people tune in because you're like, oh my gosh, you're a comedian, you're going to be so funny, hee hee ha ha ha. And yes, we have those moments. But what's also so great is that we also can really get into the heart of things and have those deep conversations here and really share with others things that maybe we haven't been able to share before.
Yeah.
So we want to take this time to really highlight those more heartfelt moments.
Yeah. Who are we going with first?
I was going to start with Tony Baker.
Tony Baker, man, incredible guy. Hilarious comedian. If you don't know Tony Baker, please go check him out. He's so funny. And listen to his episode. Like, it's laughs and it's tears, as you'll feel in this clip. This clip got so much engagement from people because he's sharing his heart and his grief from losing his son. His son passed away in a car accident. And I remember so many people commenting on this clip with their own story of grief. And it was just a very powerful moment that united people. And Tony talks about how he was able to find gratitude in the grief. And that's why we were sharing that story. But this is a clip from Tony Baker.
For those that don't know, I lost my oldest son in 2021 in a car accident. And so me and my ex-wife, his mom, we were having a conversation like, this is deep in ground zero where it's just fresh. And she was just like, man, I'm just grateful that, you know, if we had to lose him, that we didn't have to pull the plug, or like if he was in the vegetative state and we had to make the decision on pulling the plug, or just like he didn't suffer long. It was just like, so even in that, we were just like, yeah, because that I, you know, I couldn't imagine being in that situation where we have to make the decision, you know. And it's just like, and then to see your child suffering like that is just, we didn't have to go through that. And then the other gratitude on that side of it is like, because a lot of people ask me, like, how do you get through life like that? And I'm just like, because I had a great relationship with my son. That's the key point in losing somebody like that, knowing that he left here, knowing that we loved him and he loved us, and we were on good standing. There was no resentment on anything. There was no beef. There was none of that. And so that keeps me afloat. Like, it's just like, man, we were good. Because I can't imagine, like, when you lose somebody, because we all go through those moments of like, oh, did they know I love them? And like, you know, you got the regret, and like, I never got a chance to say, I don't have to deal with that. And so, you know, our last words were, I love you too. So it was like, that right there is the main key. So I'm always grateful for that. Because, you know, once you lose somebody, there's no take backs, there's no negotiation, there's no refund. Right. There's no do-over, so you have to take the loss. So within that, I was just able to find, when Cherie pointed out the one thing that we didn't have to see him in that state, and then with me thinking about our relationship, I was like, man, I'm grateful for that. So even within tragedy, you can still find some gratitude.
Very special.
Powerful, man.
Yes. I also wanted to highlight Stephen Bargatze.
Oh, yeah.
And his story about his mom.
This is a more recent episode, and I got a lot of phone calls after this episode of that story in particular, and just his story in life. This is a story that Stephen Bargatze tells about going to see his mom on her deathbed, and he had a very difficult relationship with his mom, and it comes to the end, and the way he tells the story is just incredible. So we'll just let him do it. This is Stephen Bargatze.
You got to go talk to mom. She's not going to live a couple more days. And she said, God told me that you have to do that. And I said, tell God to call me.
Okay.
And
he has my phone number.
He can get a, put in anything. But of course, I couldn't let it go. So I go up. I didn't have no way of getting in.
Right.
The hospital. So I just, I said, go early. That's when they let people in. So I got first in line. There's a big line behind me of people that allowed in. You had to be on the clipboard. And they changed. They put one of those young guys in there, don't know what to do and don't really care. But I get up there and I go, Bargatze. And he goes, how do you spell it? And I go, just like it sounds. Smart. And he panics. He's looking everywhere and the people are getting saying, come on, man. So he goes, just go. On the way up, I go, this is it. She gets to tell me she's sorry. She gets to apologize for everything she did. And I thought, you know, how great that I'm going to get to hear. You know, she should have known my kids, and she should have been there, and she should know. I have an awesome family. She doesn't even know them. Never seen Nate do anything or nothing. And Nate was already doing okay. And she had a Comedy Central special. He had been on Fallon a couple. She never took the time to even look at anything. So I get up there and I walk in. She's all hooked up to the machines and she can't talk or anything like that. And she looked at me and I knew right away. I went, she's never going to say she's sorry. Mm-hmm. And I realized that wasn't why I was there. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell her I was sorry. And when you learn what mercy is, grace is easy to accept. Mercy's hard to give. I had to forgive her without her asking for it. She would never been able to ask me to forgive her. She didn't have that in her. But I had to say, hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't a better son. I'm sorry. I stole a car when they beat me up that time. She didn't make me steal cars. I did stupid stuff. I didn't do work in school. I'm sorry that I made your life worse than it was, that you had a heck of a time trying to be a mom as a young kid, and I made it worse. And I said, I'm sorry you didn't know my kids, and I should have made you know my kids. And I'm sorry we didn't know each other. And stuff, and I didn't know how to love you, and I didn't know how to talk to you. And I said, but if you just pray with me and pray, God can forgive everything that is, and you can be in heaven. And when I get in heaven, we have all eternity to get to know each other. And I believe so I was able to get that moment that you had with your dad. I had to realize it wasn't coming. It may come later, but it'll have to be in heaven.
Yeah, my dad told me that was his favorite episode.
Aw.
Isn't that sweet? Yeah. The final one I really want to recognize, again, it's we're going to show a moment, but it's the whole episode, I think, is so inspiring, eye-opening. It's Johnny Chang is who I'm talking about. Yeah.
Man, that was another episode that was just really powerful. A lot of people responded to that episode, but this particular story, I remember, I mean, you'll see, I'm like, you can see it on my face, I'm like heartbroken. I thought about it and visualized it after he left so many times, and it was just aching in my heart thinking about the young boys and the young girls in the YA, the youth authority juvenile hall system, thinking like what age he's at and in this story. And even the kids that are younger than that, having to experience what he describes breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. And I think about my family members that are that age, my own nephew, my cousins. I can't even imagine them in that situation. Even if you did something bad, like you did a bad thing, I can't, I don't want you to experience that. Mm-mm. Ugh. Anyway, this story, first go check out the full episode to hear his whole life story, talking about getting involved in gangs and just gang life and then coming out of the gang life and going to prison and coming out of prison and all of that kind of stuff. But this is a story where he talks about the first time he entered the system. This is Johnny Chang.
And the first night, I remember being scared. I remember catching enemies and seeing them. And they ask you, where you from? And boom, we start fighting. It's just like, I think the first night I got into like 10 fights, right? And you had to get them out the way. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And so you're living this way and you're not understanding what's going on. And then, you know, you go through life and you're like, yeah, there's no God. Homies are dying. I'm seeing kids get like raped, literally just horrible things happening in there. And there's just evil everywhere. I grew up in Ramona Gardens, project housing, east side of LA. And I'm seeing all the weed heads and the meth heads and all that and crack and all that. And I'm just like, there's no such thing. And yet I understand now, reflecting, going, wow, God, you put me in prison, which is pretty much hell on earth, in a place where, you know, you're confined by bars and steel and wall. But I realized going to all the prisons that I've been on level 4 yards, level 3 yards, maximum security. I've seen overcrowded prisons, but I think through it all, the most overcrowded prison is the mind. Like people are the whole world is locked up. Like that's what I realized. And so when I'm preaching to people, that's how I approach it. Is there something that this person is bonded to? Now, it may not be a physical wall in a prison, but it could be the prison of anxiety, the prison of depression.
Yeah, what a powerful testimony he has.
Oh, he really does. And I love following him on social media, watching his clips, just the way he communicates.
Yeah.
He has a way that he communicates that it really is a gift. It really is.
Well, before we wrap up this wonderful episode celebrating 100 episodes of Fungela, we couldn't have done it without you.
Hello.
You are our listeners and viewers and
thank you.
Stalkers, you guys are our number ones. You are what keep us in business. And so we want to end this episode with reading some comments from you. And again, you can always leave your own comment too if you haven't. We appreciate those. We're going to try to start reading more of those on future episodes.
Yeah, totally. We're going to start reading some comments from you guys from all the platforms, from YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, TikTok, some Apple reviews. We're going to start reading some of your comments because we do read them. Like we go through the episodes, we'll read the comments, we'll talk to each other about the comments, but we haven't actually done that on here. So we're going to start doing that with you guys. And, and again, call us too. You can leave us actual voicemails and leave us your comments.
Yes.
But let's hear. What do we have?
I'm going to start with a comment that was left on our YouTube on our recent episode, The Art of the Social Cue.
Oh yeah.
Episode 9-6. And some of these names, apologies if I say them wrong, but Barbie Harmon Frith, I believe is the name, Barbie. She wrote, years ago, about, you know, what you should bring to a party or not. She wrote, years ago, we were having a family party, my mother's fried chicken recipe and all the fixins. We made a plan and had different family members bring side dishes. My cousin was to bring mashed potatoes and my sister and I were making the gravy. My cousin came in with a pot, and the pot was full of cold spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, no.
Sir, my anxiety peaked, and my sister and I got into high gear mashing mashed potatoes. I told everyone that dinner was pushed back about 30 minutes because we had to make mashed potatoes. My cousin didn't say anything and just kept visiting with the rest of the family.
Rude.
Who hears mashed potatoes and thinks, I know it'll work? Cold spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh my gosh. But what if they didn't even have potatoes to make mashed potatoes and they were just having spaghetti and gravy? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Someone had to have gone out to get potatoes.
Yeah. That's wild to me. First of all, the cousin who was just like, no, I'm going to call Audible. I'm just going to bring spaghetti. Rude.
Like it feels like they just opened their fridge and was like, oh, here's this.
Yeah. And then I'm like, they're like, yeah, they didn't even say anything. They just kept like mingling with everybody. Like, well, did you say anything to them? Like, were you like, bro, where's the potatoes? You're supposed to bring the potatoes. Yeah. We made the gravy. And then my other note is it was her and her sister in charge of the gravy.
Oh,
two of you in charge of gravy. That's like you're bringing the paper plates. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like your 16-year-old niece could have been in charge of the gravy.
You thought you got off easy. You were like, oh, yes, we just got gravy.
Okay. What if that cousin knew that and brought the spaghetti and meatballs and was like, you're not going to tell me what to do?
Jerk.
Yeah. Who knows? Okay. Moving on to some social media clips, comments. Comes from a clip with our episode with Michael Burke. And he was talking about coping in therapy. And Marissa commented and said, I sing when I make jokes and my therapist would laugh until one day she said, why do you think you do that? And she wrote, because it's how I cope and get the words out. Do you want to hear the trauma or not?
Love it. Do you want to hear the trauma or not? Let me sing. Yeah. Let me see.
And I relate to that. Like, I feel like when I'm under stress, I'll be like, everything's overwhelming.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. We do that. We do that.
Yes. Another comment. This one is so exciting. I love this comment. Okay, so this is our video with Fredsters, and you guys were talking about tamales, and which love Fredsters. I love everything he's ever made for us. Oh, we're pausing?
No.
Oh, I thought you said hold on.
No, I said love.
Love. We love.
And then
I
started adjusting my 44-year-old knees.
That's what threw me off. But we love food. We love people who come on the show with food. Yep. And it's a video about the Fredsters, but another past guest, Patty Hinnich, commented on it.
Love it.
Who also loves food, and she's a wonderful chef.
It was a
chef.
Debate. It we were having a debate about, do you put olives in tamales or not, bro? And there was a lot of people fired up in this comment section that were like, ew, sick. And then other people were like, I've only known them with olives. Yes. And then we're talking about like which kind of olives. And then actual James Beard Award winning chef chimes in, and past guest of Fungula chimes in on our debate. What does she say?
Well, Patty gives us a recipe. She goes, ah, one of the hundreds of tamale recipes, I have tasted some wonderful ones with olives. The tapatios from Jalisco, and then links a recipe. And the I'm going to mess this up. The coloraditos. From northern Mexico, and leaves another recipe, and there are many more. So she is very pro olive in tamales. And as someone who loves olives and tamales, I think I might be as well.
Same.
Delicioso, as some would say.
Que rico.
Our next video, I feel like I've heard this a lot from people, but a big thing out there is tipping fatigue, as some say. So this comes with our episode from with Marcus D. Wiley, where he's talking about the frustration with tipping these days. So Heather comments, and Heather says, I'm a teacher. Can I be tipped? I provided your child with a pencil for the 100th time. I stopped my teaching to deal with your child's behavior. I go above and beyond to make sure my kids are happy. I provide amazing accents for when I read aloud for engagement. And I'm never tipped, but every now and then I am provided with a tall corked bottle with red juice in it. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yes, teachers should be tipped.
They should be.
Imagine. Sometimes. Wow. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is a hot button topic.
Tipping
and where and when and who and why.
Yeah. That's the Marcus D. Wiley episode if you want to go chime in.
Yes. And then to bring us to a close, I wanted to read some reviews from our Apple Podcast reviews. You can leave comments on there. And this first one is titled, because you can also subject title them. So this first one is titled Grateful. And it was written by A. And they wrote, I'm grateful for Angela and all her guests. You learn, you reminisce, you laugh, and you cry. Thank you for providing something that a lot of us can relate to. My best drives are when I am listening to Fungula.
Aw, thank you, A.
That's so sweet.
Thank you.
We do it for you. Our last comment, this one was titled New Podcast Listener. This was exciting. From Goddess Perez.
Okay.
They wrote, just started listening to podcasts in general, came across your TikTok and listened to a random podcast and was just so inspired and loved the vibes. So went back to episode one and I'm catching up one episode at
a time. That's so cool. I love that. I love that. I'm so glad she did that. And for anybody else who's tuning in and maybe you've only listened to a couple episodes or you've only seen clips and this is your first time tuning in, thank you for tuning in. Go back to our archive and see some of these episodes that we talked about today. We have laughs, we have tears, we have it all here on Fungula. And we've been having a really great time with this. 100 episodes. I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud of us. We did it. You've learned how to do technical things. And yes, we're here. Right. We're doing it. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for every single one of you who have tuned in, who have shared the podcast. You're why we keep doing it. So yes, thank you for listening and participating. And we are grateful for you here at Fungula. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.